So, when we think about delay, one of the things that I want us to understand, let's go to this next point. The next point is this, is divine delays are beautiful. So when I say don't delay, I'm not talking about delay from God's perspective, because God will purposely delay you when he's trying to do something in your life. So, for example, Joseph has a dream that his brothers are bowing down to him. That dream took over 15 years to come into fruition. Abraham has a dream that he's going to be the father of many nations. That dream took over 25 years to come into fruition. In the scripture, it talks about the Messiah coming. It took thousands of years for the Messiah to come. And then the scripture talks about the Messiah returning, a second coming, and it's taken thousands of years. But when you're working with God, divine delays are beautiful. But this is what I want to point out. Let's go to this next point. But human delays are costly. So when God purposely delays you, don't worry. He'll turn it around. He'll hook it up for you. You'll be all right. You'll be glad that he made your way. But sometimes we like to say this. We like to say delay is not denial. That is true when it is a divine delay. But when it is a human delay, sometimes delay does equal denial. Some of the things that people are dealing with is not because God is waiting to bless them. They just missed an opportunity. They just blew it. They played around. They were too nonchalant. And so as God has been dealing with me, one of the things he's trying to show me to tell the people is this is not the season to be nonchalant about the things of God. Don't delay, don't wait, don't put it off, all right? So let's give us just a little background scripture that could help us. Acts 22:17 says this, After I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying in the temple and fell into a trance. He went into a vision, and the next verse says this, I saw a vision of Jesus saying to me, hurry, leave Jerusalem, for the people here won't accept your testimony about me. This is interesting. Jesus didn't say, the people really don't like you and they don't want to hear from you, so I'm going to push all the people out of the way. I'm going to fix it for you. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, hurry up and go. So sometimes the call from God is you need to move and you need to move quickly. If you read it in another version, it says this. It says, make haste. And so what I'm trying to tell you, don't delay, make haste. There's some stuff you got to make haste with. God, if there's anybody in my life that is causing me trouble, move them out of the way. Sometimes God says, no, I'm not moving them out of the way. I'm telling you to get up and run, get up and leave, cut some stuff off, cut some people off, move some folk out of your number, out of your phone, make haste. Sometimes the answer from God is, I'm not doing it for you. I need you to move and don't delay. I didn't put it in the notes because many of you are Bible scholars and you already know it, but I'll just go ahead and quote it real quickly. Think about Lot's wife. Think about Lot and Lot's wife. They said, listen, we about to destroy the city, so y'all got to hurry up and y'all got to go because we can't do nothing until y'all get to safety. And they was hem-hawing around and the angels was trying to make Lot know it's time to go. And eventually, Lot's wife was just too nonchalant. And then the scripture says she looked back. And here's what I found out years later. The connotation was that the protection of God over them was like a circular protection. And the problem was when she looked back, she stepped outside of the protection. Because God was moving and she was wasting time. All right, let's keep on going. And so look what Paul says. But Lord, I argued, they certainly know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. The point, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but the point I want to make is this, but Lord, I argued. So here's the thing. Many times when God tells us to make haste, we've got something to say, but God, leave that job. But God, I've been here 4 years, and on the fifth year, you get a raise, and God is saying, get up. Go. You got to listen to me. Don't argue with me. Don't try to tell me how much you know. And this is what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, I'm the perfect man for Jerusalem to listen to because I was just like them. I was doing what they were doing. And Jesus is like, no, get up and go. Make haste. Don't delay. Don't waste time. All right. Verse 21. But the Lord said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. He said, I got to work for you, but it's not going to be right here. I got to work for you, but it's not in this relationship. I got to work for you, but it's not in this job. I got to work for you. Sometimes God is trying to force us out of stuff. Now, here's the thing, what God will do, God leads us. He suggests us. And when the leading and the suggestion don't work, he gets to the forcing. But here's the thing, you can delay the forcefulness of God and you can cause yourself a lot of trouble. So let's give us a working definition of delay. Here it is. It says postpone or defer an action, be late or slow, loiter. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Loiter, make someone or something late or slow. You ever had somebody else make you late? You ever somebody else slow you down? Husbands, have you ever had a wife? Oh, hold on. That slipped out. I don't even know what I meant to say. Parents, have you ever had children to make you late? So postpone, defer. Be late, slow, loitering. I appreciate, and it's interesting that we had lost our heat earlier, but I appreciate the level of show upness. That's not a real word, but that I seen this morning. Not dragging in. Seemed like y'all was coming in. Maybe I need to cut the heat off next week just to see. No, y'all. I like stop loitering when it comes to the things of God. Sometimes, see, when you want to go to the game and you want to be there for tip off, when you want to show up to the Beyonce concert and you want to hear all the folk in front of Beyonce, you come with a purpose. You set your outfit out the night before, everything set. But why is it when it comes to the things of God, you want to loiter? You want to slow around. No, you know what you need to do. You got to put yourself together. Now, here's something that I got to say. I can't deal with it too far hard because it's going to hurt too many people. But go ahead and put this up. Procrastinate. This is another part of delay. It says procrastinate means to delay or postpone action, put off doing something. Now, this is what I want to say that the Lord gave me, and it's going to hit somebody, but procrastination is a trauma response. The more you get caught in procrastination, you're going to have to realize really it's a trauma response, and there's something in you that keeps you always procrastinating. Okay, if you procrastinate every now and then, that's not what I'm talking about, but All the time. Every year, April 14th is when you want to start thinking about taxes. And taxes happen at April 15th. It's one thing to procrastinate it every now and then. But all the time, you got to realize there's something in you that is forcing you to have the mindset of delay. And here's the problem with procrastination. Sometimes all you're doing is just kicking the can down the road. and you're going to have to deal with it later on. Sometimes all you're doing is sweeping stuff under the rug, and you're going to have to deal with it later on. Sometimes those conversations that you keep skirting around, sometimes you're just going to have to go ahead and get it out because it's going to get worse. Ask a married couple who had some issues in year two and was just like, oh, it ain't that big of a deal. And then next thing, by year 20, they can't hardly stand each other because they pushed everything down to the future. Some stuff have to be dealt with today. Do not delay. All right, let's go ahead and put this up here. How human delay gets in the way. We're just going to roll through about 4 points on how human delay has a way of just getting in the way. Number one, and this is what I've been saying over and over, is when you're too comfortable. Just too comfortable. When you get too comfortable, you put yourself in a situation where you are delayed, and you don't have the mindset that you need to be. Have you ever been accidentally too comfortable? In other words, I got to be at this, let's say it's an event you got to be at 7 p.m. And you're like, oh, yeah, I've been waiting to go to that. But at 5 p.m., I'm going to go ahead and take a nap. And then you wake up at 9 p.m., and you're like, oh, man, you done got too comfortable. You done got too comfortable. In the things of God, have you gotten too comfortable? Now, I will never stop preaching grace because grace is the message. If Paul talks about the gospel of grace, there is no other message. But the problem with people who understand grace, sometimes they just get too comfortable. Oh, God will forgive. I used to hear people say, I cussed them out in the name of Jesus because God will forgive. Stop saying silly stuff. Just because God will forgive doesn't mean he has to forgive. So don't get too comfortable with God. Have you ever had somebody who got too comfortable with you? You ever had somebody that just came in your house and opened up your refrigerator, but y'all wasn't that comfortable? Now, when I said, oh, you don't have to take your shoes off, you can walk through. Yeah, I said that. But that don't mean I want you going in my refrigerator. Oh, Pastor Andre, you got a nice master bedroom. I didn't invite you up there. How'd you get up there? You got too comfortable. Now, here's the thing about when people get too comfortable with you, it irritates you. And what happens is the previous level of access that they had with you, you begin to shut it off. Now, if you've gotten too comfortable with God, maybe it is not that God's mad at you. He's just restricted access because you done got too comfortable. All right, let's keep on looking. Let's look at Joshua 18. See if I can bear this out. Devil, I ain't thinking about you. Joshua 18. Scripture says, "Is now that the land was under Israelite control, the entire community of Israel gathered at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle." This is a good thing. They have come through the Egyptian slavery. They've come through the Red Sea. They've started off with Joshua. They have been fighting the Canaanites in the Canaan land to get into the promised land. They're moving the way they're supposed to move. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, but whenever it starts off with a but, usually there's an issue. But there remained 7 tribes who had not yet been allotted their grants of land. So there was a few of the tribes who have not gotten what they were supposed to get. Now look at this next verse here. Then Joshua asked them, how long are you going to wait before taking possession of the remaining land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given to you? What happens is here is not a matter of the enemy. It's not a matter of the Egyptians and the Red Sea. They've already passed that. not a matter of the wilderness. They already passed that. It was the matter of victory. What do you mean, Pastor Andre? Sometimes victory makes you lazy. Sometimes victory makes you just chill out. Let me give you just a quick example. I'm in the second week of my last class for college to finish off my bachelor's degree. And so the person who I've been talking to about it, they said something about, like, you can go ahead and get your master's. And I'm like, shoot, master's my foot. I'm tired of these papers I'm writing. I'm tired of all of that. But what's going on is, and I heard you clapping, Sister Kelly, but what's going on, I've got to a victory, but the victory has made me kind of relax. Sometimes it's the good times that make you get off of your post. Sometimes when the money is no longer funny and the change is no longer strange, you don't pray no more. When the husband is acting right, I don't need to pray. When the wife is acting right, I don't need to pray. When the kids are not in jail, I don't need to pray. But that's the time you need to buckle down. Because sometimes good times will make you too lazy. Good times will make you not pay attention. Good times will make you not focus. And sometimes good times will make you delay. So that's what happened to them. And so there were seven. The problem was there were seven tribes that hadn't got anything, but the other tribes didn't care. Oh, you get on your own. I done got mine. And So, all right, let's go ahead. And we're going to fast forward into a whole nother book, which is the book of Judges. It says this: the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said to the Israelites, I brought you out of Egypt into this land that I swore to give your ancestors, and I said I would never break my covenant with you. Verse 2, for your part, you were not to make any covenants with the people living in this land. Instead, you were to destroy their altars. But you disobeyed my command. Why did you do this? And so at the end of Deuteronomy, they're getting ready to go into the promised land with Joshua. Joshua, they start off with Jericho. They're doing well. But by the time you get to Judges, which is hundreds of years later, they still haven't done what they were supposed to do. Something happened where they lost all their fervor, and now God says, you are just flat out disobeying me. Let's look at verse 3. So now I declare that I will no longer drive out the people living in your land. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a constant temptation to you. You had a window of opportunity to turn this whole thing around. But you done hem-hauled around, and you keep praying to me, and God said, now some of this stuff you're going to have to deal with now. Some of this you stuck with now. Let me tell you something. Some of the stuff that you're dealing with is not the devil's fault. You waited too long. You left it there too long. You can go into my backyard once the spring comes, and you will see some stuff that's not trees that don't belong there. But because when they were weeds, I got a little tired. Man, I get them weeds later. I need to pull this up. I need to pull it up out the ground. Oh, I'll do it later. Then later becomes the summer. And summer becomes the next summer. And the next summer becomes the fall. And then the next time you realize I got stuff I can no longer handle. I can no longer fix. I done left it too long. And there's some stuff in your life that the devil didn't do it. Yeah, the devil put it there, but you left it there. You delayed too long. You waited too long. There's some stuff that you have that you could have capitalized on, but now you stuck with it. It's going to cost you longer to deal with because you didn't understand the importance of the time. Now, because we are in Black History Month, I decided at the close of every one of these points, we're going to add a quote from a famous black person. And so here it is. Let's look at this. Justice too long delayed is justice denied. Martin Luther King. And so what he was telling people is, I need y'all to get on board. Because the longer we delay this justice, it's going to be denied. So that's why he was telling the courts and the court system, y'all got to quit playing around. Yeah, we're boycotting. Yeah, we're marching. But y'all going to have to do something. And they kept saying, we're not talking about the racist ones. We're talking about the good ones. We're saying, everything takes time. We've been waiting since slavery. What you mean everything takes some time? So Martin kept on pushing them. He had to tell the pastors of white churches. He had to tell them, what are y'all waiting on? And they're like, well, we're praying. No, time out for praying. It's time for some action. If you keep delaying it, the door and the window of opportunity is going to close. All right, so that's what happens when you get too comfortable moving right along. The next one here says too carefree, which is very similar to too comfortable, but too carefree. All right, let's look at Hebrews 3:15. It says this, remember what it says today. When you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. Now, here's the thing. They didn't just immediately rebel, but they heard his voice and they was like, we got some more time. And that more time ended up becoming rebellion. And so this is the scripture, and it's a quotation. It's throughout the scripture a couple times. The day you hear his voice. Don't harden your heart. In other words, when God begins to prick you, stop delaying, stop wasting time, because you don't know what it's going to cost you if you waste time. All right, let me talk to some of y'all women, some of y'all women drivers. That engine light means something, sweetheart. You just ignore it. That chicka 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 chicka. Don't just turn up your music. That means something. And sometimes you will find out by the time you finally take it to the mechanic, they'll tell you, if you had done this months ago, we could have fixed it. But now it's going to cost you more because you were too carefree. All right, let me jump on you, man. I ain't just talking to the women. Let me jump on you, man. Some of the pains you feel are pains you can't ignore. I'm a man. I don't go to the doctor, have everybody poking and prying on me. If they don't poke and pry on you now, they're going to have to do surgery on you later. So sometimes you can't be too carefree. You got to pay attention to the warning signs. Well, why didn't God tell me? He did tell you when you woke up 5 days in a row with the same pain he was telling you, but you're too carefree. Some things you can't delay with, you can't play with, you can't waste time with. And let me throw this out there. They are concerned that there's a new round of COVID coming around. We don't know what's going to happen. I believe in God, but some stuff you can't play with. You got, just in case, wash some masks off just in case. Just get your vaccines just in case, or don't get vaccines just in case. But whatever you do, be prepared. Stop being caught by surprise because you're too carefree. Nothing wrong with being carefree as long as you're not carefree at the wrong time. When there is a raid, a drug raid, this is not the time for me to be going, hey. Hey, sheriff. That ain't the time to be carefree. Because y'all gonna be at my funeral because I didn't understand the time that was going on. That's not the time. And some of y'all, when you hear about trouble, you rush to the trouble. This is going to be a season when you hear about stuff, stay put. Mind your business. Don't be in it. Get out I heard so-and-so was doing such and such. Let me call them. No, don't call them, because when they get caught up, the detective going to look at everybody they've been talking to, and the next thing you know, you called in interrogation. Sometimes you got to learn how to leave well enough alone. Get away from some stuff. This is not the carefree season. All right, let's keep on going. Hebrews 3, 12 through 13. So we're backing up from 15 and we're going in reverse. It says this: be careful then. In other words, not carefree, but careful. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. In other words, instead of being carefree, worried about everybody else's business, you got to make sure you are focused on you and your walk with God. That has to be the most important thing in your life, is you and your personal walk with God. All right, verse 13 says this. And after you get that together, it says you must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. Now, wait a second here. It says that sin has the power to deceive. Not everybody who's caught up in sin wanted to be caught up in sin, but they were too carefree and it deceived him. It trapped them. It tricked them. It derailed them. And so what the scripture says is, once you get locked on, then sometimes, or locked in, sometimes God says you got to start warning other folk. Now I'm not trying to be in your business, but as your pastor, some of your business is my business. But here's the thing. I'm not going to waste time with warnings that are not heeded. I'm talking to those who are listening. If you're not listening, I got to talk to the ones that are listening. So you have to be very careful that you don't get caught unaware. All right. 2 Corinthians 6:2. This makes it even more clear. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. For those of you who are unsure with your walk with God, today's the day. Well, I'll do it when I turn 30. No, today's the day. Well, I'll repent after I smoke this one more time. No, today's the day. Because you don't know what the devil done put in the last thing you trying to smoke before you say your prayer. No, this is not the season to play with this. Because here's the thing, what we've heard, said it before, and I'll say it again. The devil knows his time is short. And so because of that, he also knows he does not win in the end. So the only way he can win is if he can destroy people along the way. So he's trying to destroy you. And so the day you hear his voice, the voice of God, don't play. Today's the day of salvation. Not to be carefree. All right. So let's look at another one. This is from MLK as well. Here it is. We are now faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now. Now, God keeps telling me this from the ninth hour message up until now, that this is a now season. This is a do it season. This is a not wasting time season. This is a not delaying season. And I like what Martin says. Martin says, tomorrow is today. Just last week, it was 2022. And now it's 2026, and it's like, boom. My daughter is turning 13. It's like, when? How? My son's getting ready to go to college. It's like, when? How? Me and Devin got to hit 26 years of marriage. When? How? I'm about to hit 29 years of General Motors. When? How? Life is moving at a speed that we've never seen it before. And so If you think I'm going to do it later, you don't know. You got to jump on it now. And this is not just to scare us, but this is also to let us know there are blessings that are moving at breakneck speed. But if you are not where you need to be, here's the thing. If the blessing is hitting on Tuesday and you show up on Wednesday, close is only good with hand grenades. Close sometimes is not good enough. There's a man, millionaire man, woke up with a dream. I feel like my wife is going to be at Muncie Tire Barn at 9 a.m. I just feel it in my spirit. And God wakes you up at 3 a.m. and says, be at the tire barn at 9. Ain't nothing wrong with my tires. So you go on back to sleep. 4 a.m., he wake you up again and tell you, be there at 9 a.m. And here's the thing, you don't go. You just don't go. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to you. I don't need no tires. I ain't going. And then the next thing you know, you see somebody put on Facebook, some fine man was at Tire Barn. Man, I'm married, but man, he was looking good. And you think, oh, the Lord told me, deliver me from these late prophets, these 2 day late, 4 day late prophets. I don't want to hear it. Move when God tell you to move. Now, here's the thing. God loves you, and you may still get married, but you may not live the millionaire life that you was going to live because you was just a little too late, a little too carefree. So carefree turns into this. Number three, carefree turns into being too careless. Careless. And so I'm going to switch the idea of careless, or the normal idea of careless is what we basically said with carefree. Carefree and careless can be the same thing. But I want to adjust how we see careless in just a second by what I show you. So let's look at this. James 4:17. And this is so simple. Sometimes the scripture is so simple. James 4:17 says this, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. If you know to do it and don't do it, to him it is sin. All right, here's some things you've heard before. Well, at least this one, point A, I know you've heard this before, but let me just say it again. Delayed obedience is often disobedience. I did it, but you did it too late. And sometimes that's going to disqualify you. Not all the time. Sometimes God is in the mode of grace and giving. But sometimes you just miss it. And you can miss it bad. So delayed obedience can be disobedient. So don't delay. Here's another thing. This is sometimes what we forget because we talk about the opposite. There are sins of commission and sins of omission. In other words, we always talk about what you did or what you do. That's what causes you to sin. I did this. But sometimes it's what you don't do. Both of those are sins. It's what you omit to do, what you fail to do, when you don't show up, when you don't do, when you talk yourself out of. Nobody wants me. You're gonna have to do what God tells you to do. You can't omit it. Let me tell you, just even me. There are times when I'm up here preaching and something comes to me and it just don't make sense to share that. It just doesn't make sense to share that. But I feel like God is prompting me. I've grown in life to know to just yield and say whatever it is. I don't care if it's in my notes or not. Just say, because it's vitally important. So a quick example. I've told it before, but I'll tell it again. Some years ago, I was invited back to my old school, Heritage Hall Christian School. And because they Christian and sanctified, They don't have proms. They have a banquet. And when the banquet, them kids come and they get preached to. And so I didn't like it when I was growing up, but I got invited to go back and preach there. And so here I am preaching, and in the middle of it, the Lord starts telling me to talk about our miscarriages. Now, I'm talking to folk who are seniors and juniors. I'm like, why am I talking about miscarriages? And but God, he just like he wouldn't stop. So I just yielded and started talking about it. Then in the midst of it, in my mind, I'm bombing bad in my mind. And then in the midst of it, I say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And so when I sit down, I'm like, that has to be the dumbest thing. You talking to seniors and juniors, and you talking about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I was about to be defeated leaving there. Because here's the thing, when you get invited back to a place that you left, the least thing you want to do is do good. Because I used to cut up at Heritage Hall, so the fact that they brought me back, I was like, I won't do good. But here I am bombing. And then this couple comes to me. I didn't know that this couple was there because there was a light that was shining, and the way the light shined, it blinded me from ever seeing them. This couple pulls me to the side and they said, our daughter would have been in this session, but she got a stomach issue and she died unexpectedly. And the class asked us to come. We didn't want to come, but the class asked us to come because they were going to release balloons for their daughter. And the wife, with tears in her eyes, she said, the words that you said, they touched my heart. Here I am thinking I'm bombing, and here I am thinking, I don't know why God told me this. I shouldn't have followed this. I don't even know these people are in the building. But God told me to say it. And because I've learned that he know best, I just humbled myself and said it and still thought I didn't do the right thing. And for several Mother's Day after that, they came and visited our church because being at their home church was too hard for them. And I was the one to help carry them through for like 3-4 years. We're still close today. I had no idea. All I was doing was obeying God. Let me tell you something. When God tells you to do something, it does not have to make sense. But he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's talking about. All right. Got to go on before I start crying. I already got tears in my eyes. But look at this one. This is real important. Proverbs 3:27-28 says this. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. Next verse. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say come back tomorrow. Then I'll help you. All right, let me talk about myself for another second. My wife, she got on me for a little while because people would call me and say, Pastor, do you have time to counsel me? And I was like, yeah, I can do it probably next Friday. And one day she told me, she's like, they may need you before next Friday. You might have to adjust your schedule. And I'm thinking, I'm busy. But I was like, yeah, sometimes some stuff can't wait. Sometimes you do have to adjust your schedule for other people. And this is where I want to change the word care less. Sometimes we've gotten so caught up, we don't care for other people like we say we do. Sometimes we could care less if other people go through because it's not at our door. That there were people when folks' food stamp cut off was sitting at Ruth Chris and didn't care. I'm not mad that you have the money to go to Ruth Chris. Go wherever your money can take you, but don't forget somebody that can't do what you can do. don't get so caught up and so comfortable and carefree that you start caring less. And you no longer help people, and people's burdens no longer mean things to you, and your heart is no longer pricked. Now, sometimes when you are givers like we are, sometimes you are worn out with giving. And I'm not saying you got to give every time, but don't get so callous that you do not pick up on people's pains and people's hurts. It's not just my job as the pastor to pick up on the burdens of the people. You sit beside some of these people all the time. Call them. See how they are. Pray for them. Stop being so caught up in you that you start caring less. Stop being so careless that you care less. All right. Let me put this up, and then I got something I got to say. Didn't think I was going to talk about it, but I got to say it. The time is always right to do what is right. MLK, another thing that's important. I got to say this. It bothers me what I see that's happening with these ICE agents and these protesters. I'm not saying that the illegal immigrants, that they shouldn't be, that they shouldn't go through proper processes to be here. But any time you can harm people just because they don't belong, something's wrong. That due process is okay. What happened to innocent till proven guilty? There is a different spirit in this land, and it's a spirit of carelessness. I don't care about you. I don't care if I harm you. And here's something that you have to understand. This person whose name was Alex Peretti, the last person that died in the protest, that could have been Andre Mitchell. Here's the reason why. When they showed the gun that he had a license to carry, it's the exact same gun that I carry. And when that woman got shoved and pushed, I could see myself getting in to protect. Not pulling my gun to harm the police officers. I have enough sense not to do that. But I have a legal right to carry. And sometimes it is on me. And when that woman was pushed, I would have stepped in and tried to help. And I would have been gone, because we're in a careless society. And as the people of God, we cannot be so careless that when people are hurting, it's like, forget them. Now, I'm going to be honest. When I see folk at the corner and they talking about we'll work for food, I don't always believe them. So sometimes I do drive right on by. But I will at least pray, because God, I don't know if they really need the money. They might be taking the money and going and getting in the Porsche and laughing at me. But just in case, God, if they're really hungry, I need you to bless them. If they really need money, I need you to bless them. And God, if you want me to give, prick my heart, because I don't want to be so carefree that I start caring less. And I don't want to get into the place, even as a pastor, that I'm so busy that I don't care about y'all. Sometimes a member ends up in ICU. I can't make it. Sometimes y'all out the hospital before I can get to you. But you better believe I done prayed for you. You better believe I done thought about you. You better believe I done called out. I don't want to be so important that the people in the pews don't mean something to me. Oh, brother. All right. So this leads us to the last part. It's a progression. Go ahead and throw it up there. Too cold-hearted. That's what's happening. Folk done got cold-hearted. Too cold-hearted. And when the church starts getting cold-hearted, it's a rough place to be. Luke 10:29-34, very familiar. I'm not going to give a whole lot to it. I'm just going to read straight through it. Luke 10:29 says, the man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? This is the story of the Good Samaritan. Verse 30, Jesus replied with the story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there. But he also passed by on the other side. Verse 33, then a despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Verse 34, look at this. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged him. Then he put the man on his own donkey, in other words, his own car, and took him to an inn where he took care of him. Now, we were talking about don't delay. So these other people, they didn't delay. They went on by. But here's the thing. We said when it's right to do right, you need to do right. Sometimes you need to inconvenience yourself to help somebody else. Now, here's a point that I need us to make sure we understand. Throw this up here. Point A, difference should never delay care. I'm not helping Joyce because Joyce didn't vote the way I wanted her to vote. But Joyce is bleeding out. So I ain't got time to worry about our difference of opinion, our difference of agreement. Right now, she needs help. I really don't want to spend a lot of time, but I got to add this. I was on my way out the door on my job. I had already started my car. My car's waiting on me. I was on my way, and I seen someone I hadn't seen in a while. And so I stopped and spoke to them and basically said I hadn't seen them. And by the look in her eyes, I knew I needed to stop and talk to her. I didn't feel like it. I was ready to leave. But I'm the chaplain on the job as well, and I knew I needed to talk, so I asked her what was going on. And the story she told me broke my heart. And in the middle of it, I said, can I just give you a hug? And I just hugged her, but I'll share just a little bit of it. But she was going to pick up something from Facebook Marketplace that somebody was selling in a town in Indiana she's not fully familiar with. So she brought one of her male friends with her. They go, they pick up the stuff, they load the truck up, and as she's pulling off, he begins to have what she thought was a seizure, but it was more than a seizure. He was losing his life. She gets him out the car. She said she just went through CPR training, so she knew what to do. She's doing everything she can. And she sees the police coming. She says she was so happy to see the police coming. She's trying to tell them what's going on. She said, this is my friend. She said, I got to get him back home to his wife. Please help. And then she said, Andre, them police, they thought I was a drug addict. And they thought my friend was a drug addict. So they wasted time. She said, he's sitting there cold, and they were interrogating her, and she's like, forget all that, can you help them? They ended up putting them, locking them up and interrogating them, and the long story short, the friend was gone. And she said, I lost faith in the system, because all they did was try to Narcan him, but he wasn't a drug addict. But because they didn't belong in that area, they just assumed they were doing something wrong. And all she was doing was trying to help. But sometimes what happens when people deal with a lot of stuff, they start getting careless and cold-hearted. The paramedics, they've dealt with so much stuff that sometimes they're showing up just going through the motions. But this is not the time to go through the motions. My friend is losing his life. As I sit there and listen to her story, my heart just broke for her. Because I was thinking, what would it have been like? But she was saying, the people who were supposed to help was too cold-hearted. But here's the thing. They've seen this opioid stuff, so they just thought, here's another one of these druggies. And finally, they was getting ready to impound our car. They told her that the dogs got a hit on your car. She's like, no, they didn't. I don't do drugs. And they finally said, no, the dog didn't get ahead in your car. We're just trying to get you to confess. I don't have anything to confess. But this age has gotten very cold-hearted. I'm not totally blaming the people because some of these people don't know God. But I'm saying when that cold-hearted spirit creeps into the church, we got to be very, very careful. I don't care. Listen, a deliverance temple, we've gone through enough hell to not be cold-hearted. When people are going through, we ought to be the first to rise to the occasion. We may be worn out. We may be stressed out. We may be tired. But it should never be said of Deliverance Temple that when I came to them for true help, they shut me off. They treated me like a dog. That should never be the case with us. We should not lose our heart for these hurting, dying people. All right, let's put up. So the point that I made is that difference shouldn't delay care, but they was different. So they actually literally delayed care. B, delayed compassion is a seed and delayed help is the harvest. Sometimes when you're wondering why God won't help, it's because you got a seed of delayed compassion. You had a chance to help and you shut somebody off. Now it's your time for help. And help's not showing up. Let's be very, very cautious. Let's be very, very careful. And let's not delay in doing what's right. Let's add this last quote. And this is no longer MLK, but Fannie Lou Hamer said this. Nobody's free until everybody's free. Oh, look at them druggies. Deliverance Temple, we're not free until we can help them druggies. Look at them hoes in the street. We're not free until we can help those people. We're not free until everybody's free. I'm blessed and highly favored. I can go to Cancun, but somebody can't. And we're not free until we lift other people up. Don't forget Bishop Royce Mitchell and the compassion that he had. Don't let us get so plush and so nice we forget what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be loving on hurting people. I don't think we're going to, but God told me don't delay. So if there's some things are going to come, don't delay. Be who you are and who you're supposed to be. And I know sometimes it hurts for us to be who we're supposed to be. Because people always lean on our shoulders. But sometimes we are the only ones God trusts to put in those people's lives. I literally was trying to walk out the door. And I heard a story that I did not want to hear. But that girl needed somebody to talk to. And I talked to her. And when I got in the car, I prayed for her. Because I know what it's like to hurt. Let's not forget so we can offer deliverance to the temple. Let's go to our confession and right into our communion. Let's not be as cold-hearted as this building is. Amen. Confession. Throw this confession up here. Father God. You know, hold on. My God. I just was just looking over the altars and I just seen Hiley's face. I ain't gonna tell too much, but when he was going through his situation, we showed up in the courtroom for him. And one of the members got in trouble because they felt like she shouldn't have been there to support him. But she was like, this is what our church does. You don't know who we are. And let me tell you something. Everybody that was supporting our brother, and not only were we supporting him, but while he was in, he was supporting us. God brought him out, but it's not just for him. It's a testimony that when Deliverance Temple does what we're supposed to do, God will totally bless our socks off if we stay and do what we're supposed to do. Amen and amen. Now take that, devil. And I see you, Brother Hiley. I know you're doing things in the community. You're going. Sometimes he's not here because he's going to other churches that supported him, and he's going to show love to them. Let me tell you something. He is a walking deliverance temple miracle, and we are happy about it. All right. Quick confession. Repeat after me, Father God, in this season, I don't want my delays to get in your way. Help me remove unhealthy delays so I won't cancel any blessings that are headed my way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's get our communion ready. We're going to do this quick because I still have the announcement I got to tell us. Communion. I'm going to read the whole thing, and then we'll go right into our communion. Mark 14, 22-24. And Brother Gooby, that's another one of our miracles. Happy for him, too. So I'm going to read the whole thing, and then when we finish, then you just take both of them. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." Come on, let's do this thing. Praise the Lord. Sister Devin, would you come up? Remain standing, because if you remain standing, I won't take too long with this. Because I don't want to belabor the point, but we have a very special announcement. Those of you who are collecting the things, just stop collecting just for a second, the trash, because we want everybody to hear this. Go ahead, and would you read?
Dear church family, we are filled with gratitude and joy as we share some incredible news with you. Through faith, budgeting, perseverance, and the generosity of God's people near and far, our church mortgage has been paid in full. Amen. In January 2023, it was $115,000. In January 2023, $115,999. You want me to slow down? Okay. January 2024, 24 months ago, it was $91,522. 12 months ago, January 2025, it was $68,161. January 2026, zero. To our faithful members who have consistently tithed, to everyone who has given sacrificially towards this goal, we say thank you. Your obedience, your generosity, your commitment to having made a lasting impression on our church and our future. We also give special thanks to the local assembly whose generosity helped make this last push possible. God truly used that body of Christ to bring this vision to full completion. This is a goal we have prayed for, worked for, and worked towards through great focus and dedication. Today we celebrate not a financial victory, but a spiritual one. This testimony reminds us that when God's people come together in faith, nothing is impossible. God did that.
God did it. God did it. So I'm going to add just a little context. We've had some major gifts from people who belong here, but at the beginning of this year, we were down to $17,000. We knew we were going to pay it off this year. And so Lady Devin said by November, we should have it paid off. And so I just happened to casually mention that we're close to paying it off. There was a pastor in the city who was watching our broadcast. And when I just casually mentioned that, he said God spoke to him and said, help them pay it off. That pastor contacted me out the blue and said, I heard the broadcast. Do you mind telling me how much it is? And so I told him. 3 days later, he said he got with their board, and their board said, let's do it. That pastor is Bishop Keith O'Neill, and the church is Destiny Christian Center. They wrote us a check or wired the rest of the $16,000 and paid it off, and we have a debt-free building. And you can't tell me God does not believe in this ministry. In the coming weeks, I will show how we are going to show love to that church and church family. But if you happen to see them out, they said they don't want any credit. But if you happen to see them out, just tell them thank you. Just tell them thank you. But you know who you can thank right now? You can thank the Lord. You got anything else? All right, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, we thank you. Thank you for the divine delays that has brought us to the place of blessing. But thank you, we're in a season of no delays. God, you didn't do this for us to waste time. We are doing more, and we're going to build what we're supposed to build, because this thing is just taking off to where it's supposed to be. And we thank you for it. God, bless everybody under the sound of my voice and everybody watching online and everybody that will connect through the broadcast in any way. Let them know your hand is on your people to show yourself strong. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And let the people say, amen. God bless you. Have a great, wonderful, and a marvelous week. We debt free, baby.